is one. Save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. For God so loved the world. I am resolved. my portion. Maybe through, but His presence goes, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know. And I know I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the call, when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to
some good news. I tell you, in times like this, we're always good. Best news of all is Jesus is still on the throne, okay? Yeah. Hadn't lost sight of us. Knows exactly what's going on around us in the world and in our nation, so we praise Him for that. There is hope. And also some good news this morning. Nita Connor has made considerable improvement. I said she is up eating breakfast and having coffee this morning. And so you guys continue to pray for Nita. We come really close to losing her just a little over a week ago, but she's doing better, and we praise the Lord for that. Let me mention a couple more people for prayer. We want to pray for Linda Smaltz. She had some biopsies done. They found some things on her lungs, and she's got some issues there, very concerning. They did some biopsies. We'll find out about that Wednesday. So let's just really pray hard that it's something that is treatable, something that can be rectified very quickly. Also, Kenley White, still in the hospital, and she's in good spirits. Got to see her yesterday, but we need to keep her in our prayers as well. And then Linda Pilot. And she also is in the hospital and needs our prayers as well. But we're glad you're here. I don't think we have any first-time visitors here this morning, but we're glad you're back. We'll just keep praying, keep working, keep trying to put things together, and we'll be past this little storm pretty quickly. Have a guest speaker with us this morning, Brother Sean Sullivan, 823 Ministries. Already had a great Sunday school hour with Sean. He's dynamic, great, great missionary, and he's going to share some things with us this morning and challenge us in the area of missions. So right now, we'll get right back to the singing, and we'll just open in a word of prayer. Brother Dwayne Williams, will you lead us in prayer?
Amen. Thank you. Maybe seated.
See Him dead, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon His head, the Father's heart display for us. Oh, we curse your name, and even still, you bore our shame and paid. Ghost. Oh, we thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore.
It's been good. I want to introduce to you Brother Sean Sullivan. We already had a little bit of his ministry in the Sunday school hour, and I know this about Sean, and I've known him many years, and again, we have a friendship. He and my boys, we actually all took a big mission trip, hiked through Mexico, or in Mexico for 5 days together. Great trip, and we got to, and of course I've known him along the way, and he, one thing you can know about Sean is he is a diligent, industrious missionary. You don't have to worry about what he's doing. If he runs out of something to do, he'll find something else. He recreates, reinvents, does whatever it takes when the changes come. You'll see in just a moment, he's skinny. You can't be that skinny sitting on your tail, and it's because he works, and he does such a good job. And so I'm excited to hear from him this morning. Let me invite you back already for tonight, because Sean will be with us again. This is kind of a missions emphasis Sunday, and so it'll be good tonight as well at 6 o'clock. If you would like to come back, we would want you to do so. Brother Sean, will you come, and I'll let him. I won't waste time trying to tell you about his ministry. We'll let he himself tell you. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Well, I know that skinny is me, but when you're sitting at home for 8 weeks working in your office and you can drive to Walmart and come back and that's all you can do, even skinny as a rail gets a little bicycle inner tube around. So I've been working through all that, you know, tremendous weight gain, maybe 2 pounds or something. But I started working again, started eating right, started working out. I ride my bike about 18 or 20 miles a day, you know, 3 or 4 days a week, and try to stay in shape, and I really need to lift weights more, but I'm just running all the time because I think that's what God's called me to do. I don't know that necessarily at that speed or intensity that's what God's called you to do. You're welcome to keep up, you know, or try. But I sure appreciate Bible Baptist Slayton and your partnership with us. You guys have been with us for a very, very long time, and I appreciate the opportunity to come back after a number of years. It's been a couple of years since I was here and able to share with you an update on the ministry that we're involved in together. My wife is watching online. I don't know where the camera is, so hi, baby. How you doing? She's watching us right here, so she's here in spirit with us. But we appreciate you. We're thankful for your faithfulness, for your resilience to go through everything that life throws at you, because we've got hope. I talked about that in Sunday school. Amen. We're just thankful for you. And so I'm going to show you a quick introductory video. This is the one I believe is labeled Overview, and then we'll come back and just jump right into this thing, okay? So this is Mission 823. When we focus on the needs of other people, what happens is we receive such peace and such joy in ourselves that our needs are completely fulfilled and the world is a better place. And so that's why it's important to look up and look around and see how you can help. Hi, my name is Sean Sullivan. I'm the president of Mission 823. And my job is to meet the needs of suffering children in Eastern Europe. Mission 823 is a nonprofit organization that helps children who have been traumatized, who have been emotionally abused, abandoned, neglected, kids that have found themselves in all kinds of different traumatic life situations, crises. We try to lift them up and help them to find independence, to find stability, find security, and then eventually to understand what family is all about and be able to reproduce those families themselves. Mission 823 is an understanding of my life work. That's why I use the strong word mission. I believe that to my last breath, my role in life is to honor God, to take care of my family, and to spend my life trying to help these children. We've been working with at-risk children, my wife and I and our family, for almost 20 years now. I started working in Ukraine as a missionary years ago, almost 20 years ago, then realized the need of these children at one small orphanage in northern Ukraine, and then became aware of the hundreds of thousands of kids all over the country, and so we just continued to do our work from there. We've seen great examples of how a little bit of love and care and an understanding of how family works can change the life of a child. There's a young man that I'm thinking of right now. His name is Artyom. He lived in an orphanage in northern Ukraine for 9 years. His parents had completely abandoned him. There's a lot of alcohol abuse and drug abuse. He really didn't have any opportunity, any chance of rising out of that situation. He would have been aged out of the system and then just left on the street. As a matter of fact, he called us from the curb of the orphanage saying that he had been kicked out on the street at 16 years old and the director wouldn't let him come back. And he's been living with us ever since. And since then he's entered into trade school. He's gotten his character and his integrity, his morals all squared away. He's a very responsible young man. He's responding well. He's completing sport college, going through trade school, and is performing not only towards goals in his own vocation, but he's also just becoming a better human being. I'm thinking about another young lady right now. Her name is Lana. If you were to meet her today, she's happy and smiling and beautiful, and she giggles all the time. She loves music. She loves photography. She's studying in musical university to get her degree in music right now. Beautiful young lady, but when we met her, she was backwards and shy and timid, obviously abused severely, physically and emotionally. And her sister came to live at one of our project homes, one of our family type homes, and both of them had been severely beaten, severely abused by multiple men. Anya was a young lady that came to live with us. Her parents were living in a desperate situation where there was a lot of alcohol abuse and they didn't have time or energy or the ability even to care for her. So they just dropped her off at the orphanage in Makretz. And she told us that when we came to get her, she hadn't seen the face of another familiar person or a family member in over 5 years. She didn't have anybody that she knew there. And since she's come to us, she's become a beautiful and sweet, tender-hearted young lady who actually serves other children in the services that we provide here in Ukraine. She goes with us as a team, and all of the children, as a matter of fact, help us to serve other children. And Anya's just a beautiful example of how a little bit of love and compassion and understanding of family can really lift a child out of their suffering. Our organization exists to defend, rescue, and restore the lives of suffering children. And we know that working together with you, we can make a difference not only in the lives of individual children, but to a whole generation of kids. Mission 823 came out of a calling and a challenge on our life by God Himself to step up and do something for people who have no voice. And these kids are the most vulnerable, most abused and neglected children in the entire world. The entire world has forgotten about Ukraine, except for that call with President Trump. And that's all anybody can remember. What they don't remember is that because of the conflict with Russia that's gone on every day for over 6 years, this last February, more landmines in the country of Ukraine than any other location on the face of the planet right now. Rocket and mortar and sniper attacks, grenade launches, missile launches every single day behind the conflict zone in Ukraine. People might remember Crimea and that there are some Russian people there. There are more than 75,000 Russian regular army soldiers occupying the sovereign territory of Ukraine in Crimea right now, and then cross the border on the eastern border of Ukraine every single day in UN humanitarian trucks painted white with UN on the side, with tanks and soldiers and military hardware and ammunition every single day. There are 3.5 million people in crisis in Ukraine, humanitarian crisis, food, water, basic essentials, more than 2 million refugees in the country of Ukraine just because of the war. More than 100,000 children still live in more than 700 orphanage facilities in Ukraine under those deplorable conditions that I was talking about before from that one orphanage. The entire world has forgotten about Ukraine, except for silly stuff, you know, like a phone call. But nobody remembers the people who are suffering because of corruption and abuse of power and things that are going on all over the world. But these kids suffer the most, and they have nobody and no programs, no support systems to give them any encouragement or glimmer of hope whatsoever. And so our calling, Mission 823, comes from Psalms chapter 82 and verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, and rescue them out of the hand of the wicked. And that is our action calling. That's what God has called us to do. I'd encourage you to get some more information. You can visit our website at mission823.com, get a brochure on the table out here in the lobby, a business card if you'd like to correspond with us. But we just want to thank you folks for your faithfulness over all these years. This refinement of ministry to laser focus on Ukraine right now, hopefully in the future, Eastern Europe, we have people that are waiting in Kazakhstan, in Kyrgyzstan, in Uzbekistan, and in Russia to come and duplicate everything that we're doing in Ukraine in their countries. Pastors that are waiting for us to start ministry. and we're ready to go. There's just so much going on in Ukraine right now. We really need to stabilize that situation and build a sustainable model. And when we feel like we have that foothold, then we'll continue to reach out. As we serve in Ukraine, we'll continue to reach out to others. But I want to thank you folks for allowing us to be able to work with you as partners and to come and share the story today. When we first started working with orphans almost 20 years ago, we got a weird reaction to that. Brother Chris, I don't know if you remember any of this, but when we started working with orphans and not exclusively with the church, there was some weird pushback, and people accused us of employing what they called the social gospel. I want to push back just a little bit on that. I don't believe that that thing that I just described actually exists. The social gospel does not exist. Now, there may be extremes on one end of the other where somebody is involved in social material work exclusively with no integration of grace or compassion with the gospel whatsoever. I understand that. That's social work. And then there may be those who have a compassionless delivery system for the gospel where they read the Romans Road and say, well, I did my job, and that's not a biblical representation of how we're supposed to be ambassadors for the grace of God. That's a clinical, dry, hard, soulless, heartless gospel. That's not the gospel at all. So the social gospel is the gospel. What I mean by that is what we do as individuals and as an organization is model what we believe Jesus modeled while he walked on planet Earth. I can't think of a better example to follow and emulate than the life of Jesus Christ himself, who, as God, came down to demonstrate compassion and grace and truth and repentance. He came to demonstrate all of those things to us face to face, and as I said in Sunday school, has given to us now this ministry of reconciliation, where our job, we have been tasked to do exactly the same thing that Jesus did. Not our own iteration of what we think it should be, but to follow the model of Jesus Christ to deliver the gospel in a way that human beings can get their heads around. Delivery of the gospel with a sniper rifle is not going to penetrate the heart. It may blow somebody's head up. It may turn them against Christ forever. But delivery of the gospel without a compassionate, loving, completely unconditional love approach, I'm not asking you to compromise anything. I'm asking you to deliver the gospel and to, without any apology whatsoever, stand on your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life and deliver the gospel. Do it with compassion, the way that Jesus did it, with understanding that lost people do lost things, and don't forget that we were doing that one day as well. Don't forget where you came from when you go talk to somebody else about their soul. You understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm not being too strong, but this is really important to us because we believe that, like I said in Sunday school, this calling that is on all of our lives is a calling to deliver in life or death times. If somebody dies without Christ, they have no hope whatsoever in eternity. This is a life or death situation. And now people are really afraid because of all of the nonsense of 2020. It's just been a weird, weird year. And so people are afraid. And we as Christians need to demonstrate faith, demonstrate courage, and then rise up to deliver the gospel intentionally in a compassionate way that real human beings can understand. You realize that ministry is about people. Amen. Ministry is not about notches on your belt, right? Yeah. I had a guy knock on my door. I was talking to Brother Chris, a guy that some of you probably know. Came. I was at the hotel over here, the Knights Inn, and a guy comes and knocks on the door and introduces himself and says, hey, I saw your van back in. Are you a part of Bible Baptist Church Slayton? And I said, no, I'm just borrowing the van. What can I help you with? He said, well, I saw the van back in, and it just reminded me about the testimony of that church and Brother Chris and how they poured into my life, and I'd like to repent. He came to my hotel room door because of your van and your testimony in this community of being compassionate towards him for many years, from what I understand. And he came and asked me to pray with him about being released from the shackles of addiction and things that are just destroying his life. And he was broken, and he wanted a word from God, and he wanted to know Jesus. And it's a tough situation. We need to pray for him. Right? We need to keep serving like that in this community. Lift your eyes, walk across the street, and do what you can. Use what you have in your hand. You don't have to have everything or all the answers, but rise up, look across the street, ask your neighbor what they need, and demonstrate compassion, and then intentionally looking for a window of opportunity to share the grace and the love and the compassion and the mercy of God with somebody. Intentionally look for that opportunity. You're not manipulating somebody so that you can get that. You just know it's coming. Amen. Because you're real, because you're sincere, because you're genuine, because you're selfless, and you're giving without conditions or prerequisites, right? And people respond to that. And when you do that, the same way that God did that for you, then people will open their hearts up and you'll begin to have very deep conversations. It didn't take 20 seconds, and I was talking to this gentleman about his soul and his eternity, just because I didn't slam the door in his face. You know, because I smelled alcohol and I slammed the door. I opened the door, I stepped outside. Didn't want him in my room. I didn't know who this guy was. But I stepped outside and I talked to the guy and I prayed with him right there, shook his hand. And you've done the same thing, obviously, because he recognized your van. Do that. And don't be caught up in this trap of division where people are accusing each other of extremes. The gospel is not social, and it's not just the words of the Romans Road or any other plan that you use, you know, the four steps or whatever it is that you use. Couple that with compassion for human beings who are broken just like we are. And just like we were before we met Jesus Christ. Let me demonstrate how that works. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36, this is one of many, many examples of how Jesus, as God, came down to planet Earth, looked us in the eyeballs, and said, I get you. I know who you are. I understand what you're going through. I'm going through some of the same thing myself. But you know what? You need to think beyond the sphere of the rocks and dirt on this little mud ball that we call planet Earth right now. You need to think about eternity and eternal things. And I know that you're struggling. Let me help you with some of that. And then maybe we can talk about some other things. And he said, and we're going to talk about some other things. He didn't compromise his belief. He didn't shy away from his delivery of the gospel. Can you imagine Jesus being shy about the gospel? No, he was intentional everywhere he went. He was also compassionate everywhere that he went. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 and 36. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. Now think about who this is. Who's Jesus? Jesus is who? Jesus, this young lady down here, said Jesus is God. That's true. Amen. Jesus is God Himself who wrapped Himself, just like I'm wearing this coat, He wrapped Himself in the flesh of a human being so that we could look Him in the eyes and understand Him. He came to us to demonstrate how much He loved us. So He's standing on a hillside one day and He's talking to large groups of people. The Bible says He's going to all the villages and all the cities, and He's teaching in their synagogues, and that's a conjunction I learned in fourth grade and from Schoolhouse Rock, conjunction, junction. Somebody sang it right there, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Well, it's to tie everything together. If it said or there, we could choose what He was doing. But it says, and, that means it's inclusive. That means He's doing this, and He's doing this, and they're both true. So watch this. Jesus is teaching in the synagogues, and He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's the next word? And. This is Jesus Christ, God Himself, who came to earth to demonstrate His love to us and show us how to do ministry with human beings. He's teaching and He's preaching and He is healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, right, He's busy working, doing compassionate human work and unapologetically sharing the gospel at the same time, He looks up and is moved with compassion on them because they, what? Fainted. Now, if I was standing on the platform right now, I hope I don't. I almost did pass out once. I hope I don't today. But if I did, would that be a physical manifestation or a spiritual revelation? Let's just hope, because I'm in a Baptist church, let's just hope that that's not a spiritual manifestation. If I passed out on the platform, it's because my blood sugar got low. I'm fainting, right? Jesus looks up in the middle of gospel-centered, compassionate ministry to human beings that were surrounding Him who were hurting. And He said, I am broken for these people because they have physical pain, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So watch this. The heart of God was broken for His own creation because they had physical suffering and because they had no purpose and direction for eternity in their lives. And both were true. He was broken for both. And He took action in both realms. And so our encouragement, what my takeaway from this was to realign my life with the model of Jesus Christ and what He did for me and what He did for you and what He has always done for all people. And that is to show love unconditionally, no prerequisites. You don't have to meet any requirements to come to Jesus. He asked you to come just like you are, and you're welcome. Amen. Just like you are. Amen. And you know what you were like. Yeah. And you know what you're like now. Yeah. Right? We've still all got a lot of work to do. Thankfully, we have the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that covers everything in the past and everything in the future.
Amen.
But we love like Jesus did, completely unconditionally. We don't ask for anything in return. He didn't ask these folks to do anything for Him. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this food. Now you got to sit for 20 minutes and listen. It's not a rescue mission in L.A. He said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and you do with that what you want. And it was their responsibility to respond to the delivery of the gospel, very clearly done by Jesus Christ, compassionately done. And it was their responsibility. And it's our responsibility to respond to that. We have to wrestle with, what am I going to do with Jesus? What's going to happen to me after I pass from this life? And my eternity and my responsibility to decide how I'm going to, you know, figure that out, that's my responsibility. But Jesus didn't condition that. He said, I'm going to love you unconditionally, not asking for anything in return. And then what did He do? Knowing that some of those people were only there for the biscuits, He continued to love and serve them anyway. It's not our job to hold people in probation, and when they start changing, then we can lighten up. Right? Or when they stop responding, then we withdraw from them. That's not what Jesus did. He continued to serve people. Watch this. He continued to serve people that were sitting on that hillside that He knew for a fact, because He's God, would stand on the road as He was going to the cross and throw stones at Him and hit Him with sticks and hurl insults at Him and spit in His face. He knew those people. And He loved them anyway. He continued to serve and to love unconditionally, not asking for anything in return, and relentlessly pursued a relationship with those people, even the ones that He knew hated Him. Yeah. That's the model. Yeah. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be like Him. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Can you think of a better example in the Bible to model Jesus Christ wants us to be with him. He wants us to be like him. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, which is in you, right? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, doing his work by proxy and in reality here on planet Earth, because the Holy Spirit has given you the capability of making eternal changes in the lives of people that you've rubbed shoulders with. You can't say, I don't know how to do that. Do you know how to tell people what happened to you? That's what you do. God loved me, and I sure didn't deserve it. Man, I was broken and headed down a really dark pit. And God lifted me up, and he gave me hope, and it's because of Jesus Christ and his blood, and his death, and his burial, and his resurrection that set me free from death, hell, and the grave. You can say that. You don't even have to memorize a whole bunch of Bible verses. Everybody can tell the story of God's grace in their life. That's all we're asking you to do, is be like Jesus and tell what you know. Tell the truth about what you know and do it in a compassionate way. Matthew chapter 25, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read this quickly. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed you and thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you in sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You are serving Jesus Christ by serving those that are broken. Amen. That's what he wants us to do, to be like him, and then go out and find somebody to serve. Somebody that doesn't deserve it. Somebody that can't help themselves. Somebody that has no voice. Somebody that has no shield, warrior, no defender, no rescuer, no advocate, no lawyer. Find somebody to pour your life into who could never pay you back. Yeah. I can never restore the debt of gratitude that I owe to God. Amen. For what he's done in my life. Amen. I'll never stop trying to pay that back, even though I know I can't. The least that I can do is give him everything that I am and everything that I have. Bible says in James chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? God wants us to be genuine in our expression of gratitude to him and our expression of that gratitude to others. And then finally, James chapter 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God wants us, as I spoke before, to take action, not to be passive sponge recipients of his grace, but to take that grace in our lives that has changed our daily life and our eternity, rescued our very soul, and rise up and say, because I am grateful for the grace of God in my life, I will do everything I can to honor that name and help others to do the same. Amen. That's the gospel. You can call it social, you can call it whatever you want to, but with gospel in the middle, it just means that you demonstrate compassion and grace to people just like God showed to you. And that's what we do in Ukraine with these children who are dying, who are suffering, who are being exploited, modern-day slavery, held in chains, strapped to beds, have no one to fight for them. And you folks are a part of helping us, partnering with us, teaming with us to do that, and then bring the gospel light into their lives and into their communities. Churches are planted, people are coming to Christ. Hundreds and hundreds of young people came to know Jesus Christ as Savior through our youth camps this year that we're currently following up with because of your partnership. 8 children were rescued from human trafficking rings this month because of your partnership with us. Last year, we bought a brand new family home that we're interviewing adoptive house parents. They're currently being interviewed. We're going to get them their license and get that new home. It's called the Faith House. It's out in the Carpathian Mountains. We'll open that in the next in the next few months, as soon as all this coronavirus nonsense kind of wanes away, and then we can get back to work at full steam. Then we'll open a brand new home for adoptive children with adoptive parents, for orphan children with adoptive parents. All of those things, a brand new church plant that's a result of a youth camp that was funded by and had volunteer workers, camp counselors that came from Houston, Texas, came up and helped us do multiple youth camps over the course of 4 years. And there's a brand new church plant that is a result of their young people from the small village of Muzici coming to youth camp, hearing about Jesus, going home different, and their parents noticing. You did that. This is our work, and you're a part of that, and we're thankful for it. I'm going to introduce you to a young lady, and then I'll step down. Her name is Anya. This is your daughter. She was forgotten in an orphanage in Ukraine called Mokrets. Ironically enough, the name of the village means soaking wet, like she was drowning. She was stuck in this orphanage for 5 years and didn't see another human being that she knew or recognized in 5 years until she aged out of the system, and then she had no one. She didn't even have a roof over her head. Social services called us and said, "Will you take Anya?" We said, "Absolutely yes." This is her life.
Я пам'ятаю, коли мені було років, напевно, 6-7. Мій тато дуже багато випив. Він не розумів, що він робить. Він просто почав кричати на нас, бити маму. І вона сказала нам іти в сусідню кімнату, щоб ми вилізли. Він вигнав її на двір. Вона нам через вікно передала, щоб ми йшли в сусідню кімнату і вилізли через вікно. Мій брат уже переліз, він вже був на дворі, а я тільки залізла на підвіконня. І тато зайшов в кімнату з ножом, почав іти до мене, я злякалася, почала кричати. І як я зрозуміла, це його відлякнуло, і він вже коли я вилізла на двір, ми ще не встигли відійти від вікна далеко. Він розізлився на нас, те, що ми втекли від нього, і розбив вікно кулаком. Почав кричати на нас, сказав, що якщо ми повернемося, то він може нас вбити. Зараз я живу в родині, нас 8. Ми проводимо дуже багато часу разом, веселого часу. Все стало набагато краще, ніж було. Причин для того, щоб плакати, вони врятували мене, можна сказати, від того, щоб я не повернулася на той шлях, не стала на той шлях, як мої батьки. Місія 823 врятувала моє життя і змінила його на краще.
Of course, he can't cover everything in a short period of time. He shared with us during the Sunday school hour, and I'm sure he will share more tonight about how their ministry has developed, just not only rescuing these kids and helping them, but the sex trafficking problem that is really worldwide, but especially in the Ukraine under the circumstances with so many children, vulnerable children, and they have made it part of their mission to rescue and help so many of the young people, and furthermore to catch and prosecute the perpetrators and this sort of thing. And it's a we don't realize prolific that sex trading, I guess for lack of a better term, industry is, not only but even locally. I mean, folks, we have it in Lubbock. We have it in Texas for sure. And so if you want to hear more about that, come back tonight. But I can't imagine that a person within this crowd would not have a big heart towards a ministry like this that is helping children. And we're a children-oriented church. We work hard ourselves, not nearly as they do in their ministry, but we have a big heart for children. I know you do as well. Please, and we will ask you guys to come if you will, David. Please take a few moments. Maybe you'd like to bow at the altar. Maybe you just bow where you are. But let's stand, if you will, and take a few moments and pray for Sean, 823 Ministries, all the various aspects of that ministry, and pray that maybe God would touch your heart, speak to you about something that you can do. Always room to give more dollars to missions, folks. And that's not dollars I'm asking you to give so we can build nice things in our church. That's dollars that every cent of it would get to a missionary on a foreign field like Brother Sullivan. And so if you are not a part of our mission program, it's a good time to get started. As even the smallest amounts make a difference. If you are a part, then maybe ask God to speak to your heart what you can do more from year to year to contribute to missions, okay? Appreciate you guys so much. We're going to have a verse of invitation for you for the next few moments. If God's spoken to you, you come. Heads will be bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's really going to be worried about what you're doing. It's between you and God, okay? And we'll take that time right now.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him.